Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Red Hat. Here's today's moderator, Tom Temin.
CIA, of course, it stands for Central Intelligence Agency. Backwards, AIC could be Artificial Intelligence Center. The largest member of the intelligence community, the CIA is working with artificial intelligence on a number of fronts. I got the lowdown from its director of AI, Lakshmi Raman. Let's start with the big picture here. The intelligence community and the many components, I guess the CIA being the largest of them, are all pursuing artificial intelligence in a number of use cases. Give us the broad picture of AI at the CIA.
Sure. So at the CIA, we've been doing AI for quite a while. And as a matter of fact, in our strategy, which we had approved, the CIA's AI strategy last year, July of 2022, one of our strategic pillars is really around how do we use AI to enable our mission? And we are really thinking about that in terms of how do we use it to automate low-level cognitive tasks, but also how do we use it to augment human judgment? And as I stated, we've been doing it for quite a while, and we've relied on AI to perform tasks like document tagging, triaging, machine translation, named entity recognition, and document summarization. We've been doing that for quite a while. But, you know, like everyone else in the world, we've been exploring potential use cases for generative AI using large language models. And we see it as another tool in our toolbox to help us with our intelligence work. We believe these technologies can help us in the timeliness and sophistication of our assessments. They can act as search and discovery assistants, ideation aids, critical thinking aids, and even, you know, writing assistants for our workforce. A more specific example with respect to LLMs is an example within our open source enterprise, where we have always had to deal with the large scale of our collection. And it's always been a challenge for our officers to sift through all of that information to find the relevant pieces of information they need. And so we've made really significant progress in using LLMs to help that workforce manage the open source data they collect. So they're using it to cluster, search, and summarize events, which in turn makes it easier to identify important information and to delve deeper when needed. And finally, right, there are also boutique solutions that we need to support specialized cadres within our agency. And those solutions can really be improved through AI applications. So, for example, generating computer code to help our data scientists or our developers do their jobs more efficiently, or even text-to-image generators for our designers so they can use them for ideation purposes. So we are really thinking about this across the board within the agency.
Yeah, that sounds pretty comprehensive. I just want to get back to one detail. You mentioned low-level cognitive tasks. Mm-hmm. That's something you have been doing for a while. And what is a low-level cognitive task?
I think those are things where automation is, you know, it's ripe. Areas where we, without getting too detailed, areas where we might have a lot of training data, where we can, you know, make some more decisions easily. Or we can even say, like, things like triaging information to tee up to our officers. I think those are areas where, what are some of the places where we can make our officers' jobs easier so that they can spend their time doing higher order activities.
Okay, and so that's different from, say, well, the other term I wanted to ask you about specifically was ideation, because you used that mm-hmm. in a couple of different contexts. And other than the dictionary definition, what do you mean in the CIA context by ideation?
So I think you can think about, you know, when our analysts are doing, you know, they do a lot of work to derive insights. And so you can imagine that ideation can help them do things to help them challenge their assumptions or to generate counterarguments, just a couple of examples.
And what kind of data might be used, again, you know, as specific as you can be given the mission, mm-hmm. what are the sources or types of training data for that type of application?
So without getting too in deep, but you can imagine things like the reporting we have available internally or, you know, other finished intelligence type products.
So in other words, it is the work of the agents, the eyes and ears, the signal intelligence and so forth, whatever tools the CIA have, that remains the original generator of the information. And then the AI is kind of layered beyond that to see what you might have overlooked in that mass of information.
You know, I think, you know, all of the data we collect can help inform and help us create with our workforce, help us create our reports and our finished intelligence products, and AI can help us across our mission of collection analysis.
And I want to focus on generating code and software development and also analyzing the software that you might acquire or the open source pieces of software that you might acquire, whether from vendors or libraries, mm-hmm. and how AI is interacting with that process. And for what purpose? I mean, the obvious one is checking for cyber weaknesses. But what else in the supply chain, let's call it, for software? How does AI fit there?
Yeah, and so obviously we have to do what we need to do to know that the models we have are secure and are doing what we expect them to do. And again, I can't go into the details of all that we have in place. I can tell you that this is an area that we don't take lightly. Whether it's commercial models or open source models that we are able to work with and fine tune, we recognize that there are risks in using these technologies, right? And risks could include things like data poisoning attacks that could result in models providing biased or incorrect results, or malware, you know, being embedded on models that come our way. So we take supply chain risk management and system security mitigations very seriously, as well as AI-specific model security processes very seriously. And honestly, this isn't unique to us, right? I'm sure if you look across the landscape, you'll see that there are safety best practices that are going on across the AI space. And we definitely are trying to keep an eye out for every way in which we can improve our security posture.
And when you mention data poisoning attacks, I think, as you say, a lot of organizations in and out of the IC, really across the spectrum of domains, worry about that because bad data means bad algorithmic output, even if the mm-hmm. algorithm is working perfectly. And so the idea of a data poisoning attack means that you need to keep track of what algorithms are doing in the context of the network that they're operating on. Would that be fair to say?
In the context of the problem that we're trying to solve, right? And in the context of the data we're using to inference them, and in the context of, yes, where we're actually leveraging those models.
Because all of this operates on a network, and there is mm-hmm. interconnections with networks, and so you need to see how it's behaving and look at network behavior as well as software behavior, I guess is what I'm driving at.
Sure.
Okay. And with respect to supply chain mitigation and so forth, just maybe review for us the sources of software for the CIA. That is to say, how much is developed in-house? How much do you contract out? How much is open source, where it's kind of a combination of development and acquisition? And so on.
Well, I'm probably not going to get into numbers like that with you, Tom, but suffice it to say that those are all ways in which we get software, right? We build it, we buy it, we acquire it from the open source, right? So those are all ways in which, you know, we are working to integrate and create the best software to meet our intelligence mission.
And if you would maybe just give us a sense of how the algorithms are developed, or I shouldn't say the algorithms, but perhaps the models, which are built on algorithms, and then you feed, you know, the resulting model. What's your general approach for creating those?
Sure. And you're probably going to get sick of me saying this, but without getting into exact specifics, right, I will say, like, as I already said, that we rely on commercial and open source models. And we have things like supply chain risk management and software security mitigations, as well as AI-specific model security processes in place. And as you might imagine, right, we are all serious about cybersecurity. And so, again, we take that very seriously. We also are very interested in SecDevOps. So, for example, at the CIA, we have a component that's actually focused on building machine learning ops for the enterprise. So they do things like build our AI model exchange, where we're building capabilities to be able to implement CI/CD-like approaches, to deploy models as services, to implement monitoring, to do testing, to do security scanning of models. And this might sound familiar to people who are familiar with any kind of software development, right? So some of those principles apply, but we also do things like implement AI-specific activities like, you know, beyond just simply monitoring, right, an API endpoint. You can monitor an API endpoint just to see if a model is up or responding, but we also have to think about, you know, is it giving us, are we monitoring the model outputs, or have we seen a change in model quality, which might indicate unexpected inputs, right? A little bit about what we were talking about earlier. You know, hopefully that's a little bit of insight into what we do, but I will say that testing and securing and governing our AI models for us is critically important.
My guest is Lakshmi Raman, Director of Artificial Intelligence at the CIA. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Are you ready to uncover the secrets behind empowering the next generation of intelligence community professionals? Red Hat has years of experience helping agencies like yours modernize and propel their workforce, whether through automation or training. We equip our customers within the community with the tools they need to enhance their ability to safeguard national interests. Red Hat is committed to providing you with a secure and compliant environment. Let's talk about moving your mission forward. Learn more at red.ht/intelligence.
Welcome back to our interview with Lakshmi Raman, Director of Artificial Intelligence at the CIA. Our topic is how the agency is using AI, including for protecting its own software supply chain. Of course, artificial intelligence, machine learning, I mean, it's all software. It's all code running on computers. But I've heard it described that the specific cybersecurity and general security implications of artificial intelligence models and operations are that as software, they increase or greatly enlarge the attack surface because of the scale of data that they might ingest and because perhaps just of their sensitivity and where they run, that they are almost on steroids with respect to cybersecurity protection requirements. How would you describe it?
That's interesting, right? So, you know, I guess I can see that point of view, but I just see it, again, as something where we have to continue, as we deploy, to continue to ensure that we have the appropriate tests and evaluation, that we have the appropriate SecDevOps processes, the MLOps processes in place. And we're doing the appropriate monitoring after deployment to ensure that we are kind of accounting for, as you called it, the attack surface. But we're ensuring that we are, you know, accounting for those AI-specific needs. And I think a lot of that really falls within, you know, how are we governing all of this? How are we ensuring that we are looking at, you know, the appropriate levels of risk mitigation at every portion of that process that I just described. And it also is about how do we make sure that we have the right training, tooling, and our officers have the right tradecraft to understand what this looks like and what this means, right? I know you said it's just software, but it really touches so many things that are AI adjacent.
Right, which leads me to the question that when you have ML ops in the model of SecDevOps for creating machine learning or AI applications and models, there is something about AI and ML that makes it different from ordinary software application development that you need to be extra careful of and have more rigorous, say, process and governance in place. Fair to say?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I hope that we have rigorous process and governance against, you know, all. I hope that people would see that we have rigorous process and governance around all of our systems, AI or not. But I think when we're working sometimes with software that or AI that is kind of more inherently probabilistic, vice more general software, which is deterministic, obviously there are things we have to be thinking about. Like I said earlier, such as like, you know, the test and evaluation, right? We have to make sure we have the right tooling and training and personnel in place to be able to do that, who understand how to do that and what it means. Same thing after deployment. When we implement monitoring, we have to make sure that people are looking at the right things and ensuring that we have the right output coming out to detect things like model drift or a change in quality, right? Because, again, that might mean unexpected inputs. That might mean that we have to retrain. And those are all of the things we have to look for. You're right. At the end, AI systems are software, and it makes sense to continue to apply best practices. But we have to make sure that those we extend those practices and principles to account for things that are AI specific.
Yeah, that idea of model drift comes up a lot. And I imagine it's a difficult thing to track because it would really require the subject matter experts who are your users of these algorithms and models to say, wait a minute, this doesn't really make sense in my experience. There's no objective way, or is there, of measuring to say, golly, this one's out of band. Let's go look at this model and see what we need to do to adjust.
You know, model drift really just means data drift, right? And it is always a problem when we build and use AI models. And in fact, you know, AI models, any models that are used over time. So, you know, we are working, you know, with respect to trying to figure out our own solutions in this space, but also to understand how industry is tackling this and adapt best practices for our systems and use cases. This is something that, again, we're building into our overarching AI governance plan and something that we will continuously be looking at and reevaluating so we can have the best implementation in place. So this is something we definitely have a lot of focus and attention on.
And with respect to the specific use cases for AI and machine learning, maybe describe the process by which you arrive at those, because I imagine the user community, those on the mission front lines, analysts and officers and so forth, really have to be part of all that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Tom. Regardless of, it's really important that we start to, you know, we're in the intelligence community, tradecraft is a big deal, right? How we do our jobs is a big deal. And it has to be a big deal because there's risk and we're giving our insights to policymakers, right? So the stakes are high. And so it's very important that when we're using AI systems to help our officers and to start to move, to collaborate with our officers, right, we need to make sure that their tradecraft is incorporating this new, sometimes novel technology that they might not have already used, or they've been using it for a while and things are shifting. And so crosswalking tradecraft, right, special cadre tradecraft with AI is incredibly important, and augmenting training for AI all the way from our general workforce to our senior leaders so they understand how it can help them do their jobs is also a huge focus of the work we're doing at the agency.
And could you maybe discuss in the context of model exchanges how much interagency sharing is possible or is going on within the IC? You know, you've got a diverse group there, everything from the, you know, the DEA to the NGA, and there's some confluence, but there's a lot of differences. Are you able to create models and share them in a model exchange where DEA, for example, might find something useful that the CIA has developed, only, you know, they're going to use different data?
Yeah, we actually have a model exchange deployed out to the for use and sharing of models by the intelligence community. It's been out there for, gosh, I want to say a couple of years. And we are, continue to, augment the capabilities available in that exchange, including, sometimes even just allowing users to bring data and leverage a model, right, that's available within that exchange. Also important within that exchange are things like model cards, which we think are very important to drive that transparency so we can leverage these capabilities responsibly and with explainability. And I think that also helps build trust within the intelligence community for what they're using. Now, we also work very closely with our IC partners, NSA, NGA, DIA, others, right? And also with the ODNI, who, provide, are doing a lot of work to also drive IC-wide collaboration and governance and policy. So we continue to augment our IC collaboration in this space.
And as a long-term software person yourself, I think you've been more than 20 years at the CIA in various software-related roles. What's it like with the AI, and you probably knew about AI 20 years ago, we all did, but now it's suddenly, reached that critical mass, you might say, the fission point, and it's really coming on strong. What's it like?
Tom, it's so exciting. I started this job in January 2022, and, there was already a huge focus on technology at the agency. Our agency had established a new transnational and technology mission center. We had hired a new CTO. I had come into this job establishing my office. And then, so things were already starting to move. And then November 2022, late 2022, right, ChatGPT came out. And then it really caught the world by storm. Right. And candidly, right, generative AI caught the intelligence community by storm. So it's really an exciting time to be in this space. And I'm really excited to be helping the agency and the intelligence community make progress in this space.
And because this is coming on so strong, can you keep up? Because there's a lot of talent needed to keep that DevOps pipeline for ML and AI going.
Tom, that's exactly right. The talent bottleneck is a huge challenge for us. And we at the agency have an incredibly talented AI practitioner workforce, data scientists, analytic methodologists, business analysts, right? They are really top of the line. But boy, does the demand for their services exceed the supply of, they're so heavily in demand. So we are really working hard to extend partnership. It's a key priority of our AI strategy, and we are working hard to extend partnership to our industry partners and to our academic partners, to national labs, and obviously within the IC and USG itself, so that we can really bring the best solutions there are to bear to our intelligence mission.
Lakshmi Raman, Director of Artificial Intelligence at the CIA. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by Red Hat on Federal News Network.